Hello, heroes, and welcome to Adventure. I'm your host, Pranks Paul. Welcome to my actual play. Adventure will feature a rotating cast of players, settings, and systems, all viewed through the lens of fanfiction. I hope you like it. Hello, heroes, it's time to catch 'em all. This week, we'll be using a system called Pokemon Pen and Paper, designed by Eric Shoemaker. We'll include the link in the show notes. Triple P, as we're going to call it for short, is a 2d6-based system. It's a system that focuses on the bond between trainers and their starter Pokemon. When you choose a Pokemon as your starter, its strengths and weaknesses become your own and translate to your whole team. Pokemon stats range from 4 to 6. For example, Ash's Pikachu has HP 4, Attack 6, Defense 4, Special Attack 5, Special Defense 5, and Speed 6. These work more or less how you'd expect them to work in the game. Physical attacks use the attack stat, and magical or special attacks use the special attack stat, and they go against the corresponding defense stat as well. When making skill checks, you roll 2d6 and add the relevant stat. Each trainer is also able to select various boons, which we'll get into when we're actually doing the show. Before we get to all that, why don't we introduce our cast for this week? This week, I am joined by six of my best friends, and we are playing Pokemon! Because I neglected to do this before, why don't we go around and introduce ourselves and plug whatever it is we want to plug? I will start with the person who has the most to plug, Rossua Philip Kelly, my best friend of, how long have we known each other? Like 12 years?
Yeah, something like that. 12 years. 12 long, long years. yeah, plugging stuff. My name's Ross Kelly. Yeah, good to meet you all. Yeah, Never Tell Me the Pods, great podcast. It's about Star Wars, people talking, their jokes, there's insight. There's action and adventure, actually. So live the dream, listen to Never Tell Me the Pods.
Do you want to talk about what you do for a living or what it is? Like, who are you?
Oh, gosh. This is getting heavy. I've been playing role-playing games for most of my life. I'm a web developer. I was a chemist for a while. I'm not as funny as the rest of the table. Well, I'm funnier than Pranks.
You're definitely more funny looking.
Easy. Hey! Pranks.
Zing!
You win this time, Paul.
Sarah, why don't you go next?
Hi. I'm Sarah Stout. In real life, I am not a performer. I'm a lawyer. I'm a lawyer for children. I also... when kids are accused of crimes, I defend them, because locking up children is, like, not a good thing, and America does it for some reason, and no one else does, so
and
I do
I'm
that.
I'm gonna get away with all of it!
Yeah, so...
it's me, the kid crime lord!
We should stop making this fun and cute, and take it seriously.
So yeah, I'm a...
Your Honor... If I may approach the bench.
Guys.
No, I'm into this. This is great. This is awesome.
You can't handle the truth. This whole courtroom is out of order.
Please go on, Sarah.
You can't see me in court because all those proceedings are closed, but I do have two podcasts of my own. The first is The Immortals, where me and five friends review the 1001 best movies, TV shows, songs, albums, children's books, and foods that you have to consume before you die, because we are actually immortal people who cannot die until we do those things. So that's our weekly podcast. You can also catch me on Ad Absurdum, which is my lawyer podcast where me and a bunch of lawyer friends discuss the legal implications of various sci-fi movies. You can find out more about both of those on theartimmortal.com.
We are also joined by my sister, Rebecca McFarland. How are you doing, Becca?
Good.
Do you want to talk about your deal?
Doing?
I'm good. I'm great.
Great. That's good. I'm Rebecca.
Could
McFarland.
We do this a little more stiffly, do you think?
I think we could.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm Rebecca. That's who I am. I
plug your shit.
I am a bookbinder. I can repair all of your books, maybe. You can catch that at McFarlandBookRepair.com.
And we'll put a link in the show notes.
If you need some books that you then want to break to send my way, you can buy journals from Liren Journals on Etsy.com.
And we'll put a link to that, too.
Yep. And yeah, so that's what I do. I'm about the books. I'm about books and video games. That's all I do. It's pretty great.
Johnny!
Hello! Hi! I'm Johnny. I'm on the Campaign Podcast, which is also on this network. And I have another podcast called Dilettante Ball, which is hard to spell and even harder to listen to. And I do a lot of improv around Chicago.
Awesome. Kat?
Hey, Kat Cool. I did
to do that campaign podcast.
What is the campaign podcast, Kat?
It's an actual play podcast set in the Star Wars Edge of the Empire role-playing game.
Oh, sound more upset about it.
I could easily. It's a Star Wars fan fiction set in the year 14 BBY. It's pretty fun. It's 3 minute baby in space. I GM these chuckleheads play.
I think that's the tagline.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's fair.
They play every game but Edge of the Empire.
They play my patience. And I sometimes get to be on Never Tell Me the Pods, which is a very good podcast, I think.
Oh, dang, I'm on that too.
Yeah, you are. You do great.
Thanks. So do you. No, you're right. You don't.
Yeah, for real. And then I have the good fortune of being paired up doing games creation work on Paracosm Press, which is a publishing studio for role-playing games and sundry. So we will hopefully link that in the show notes.
Woo!
Yep, that's about me.
And our sixth player is James D'Amato.
I'm James, member of Team
nope.
Rocket.
Nope.
We're
nope.
Poke
other
Thieves
one, James D'Amato.
The other
James
one.
The D'Amato. Other
one. Bleed. There's only one.
He's
now.
Dead.
Okay.
I'm James D'Amato. I am host of the One Shot Podcast on the One Shot Podcast Network. It is an actual play role-playing podcast where we get actors and performers to show off a varying degree of role-playing systems. Every month we have a new cast with a new role-playing game. You can find all of that at oneshotpodcast.com. And thank you so much, Pranks, for having us on.
Thank you for letting us record in your home and putting me on this network, James.
Oh, hey, no problem.
Who are you, Pranks?
That sounded like there was a problem.
It's a huge problem because you guys are making me be a person who is dead now. There's only James from Team Rocket.
I am not James from Team Rocket. I am Pranks Paul. I am the host of this podcast that you're listening to. You hopefully understand what the deal with this podcast is, but if you for some reason skip to a random point in this recording, and that random point is now, we are adventure, and we are focused around doing fan fiction themed universes in a variety of settings and a variety of play styles and games with a rotating cast of performers. And this week we are doing Pokemon. You can also find me on Twitter, at RogueTLDR. Do you guys want to do your Twitter handles?
At Wolves Are Cool, with cool spelled like my last name, K-U-H-L.
That whole thing is her there's no room to say anything to her. It's just, her whole thing is her Twitter handle.
Very intentionally. I don't like talking to people.
She does not. Don't at her.
My Twitter handle is Johnny in Briefs, one word. That's all.
And James from Team Rockets is
at One Shot RPG. I just had to think of my own Twitter handle for a second.
It's because it's not your Twitter handle, because you're James from Team Rockets.
Well, I'm at the real James from Team Rocket on Twitter.
Ross?
I'm at Roster. I don't tweet.
He doesn't tweet. It's true.
I also don't tweet because Twitter scares me.
Yep. Fair. And I made a Twitter for Becca, but she doesn't use it.
Yeah, I don't know what handle is.
I think you may have originally created my Twitter as well.
You monster.
I'm a monster. yours is at Beckles, in case you forgot.
Yep. That's me.
I'm at RogueTLDR. And you can also find me at Never Tell Me the Pods and an okay podcast that Ross plugged earlier, where we talk about Star Wars with half of this table and other members of this table as
and
well.
Me.
And Becca. I want to be the very best, like no one ever was. To catch them is my real test. To train them is my cause. I will travel across the land, searching far and wide. Pokemon to understand the power that's inside. Pokemon, gotta catch 'em, it's you and me. I know it's my destiny. Pokemon, oh, you're my best friend. In a world we must defend. Pokemon, gotta catch 'em, my heart's so true. Our courage will pull us through. You teach me and I'll teach you. Pokemon. catch 'em all. Gotta catch 'em all. Pokemon.
Meow. That's right.
All right, Ash, if you could say the title of the episode and just imagine the Pokeballs streaming as you say this.
A thorny situation.
Do 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 do.
Oh, cool.
It's another lovely day in Kanto. There's Pidgey chirping from the trees. There's Beedrill buzzing around, not at all menacingly. And there's also way more awesome and exciting Pokemon that you can imagine peeking out from the various bushes and streams. The camera pans down over a shot of Magikarp leaping. There's a Gyarados just idyllically destroying a nearby town. And there's, you know, just Pokemon stuff happening. Ash, Misty, and Beck are once again lost. Why don't we talk a little bit about... We'll talk about how you guys are planning on getting where you're going and what happened and what led you to this point.
Okay, so we're headed down, I assume, a route from our most recent haphazard adventure. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, Ash has decided that he should be the person to lead the party. And as usual, this is not going well.
I know exactly where I'm going.
Ash, you've never known.
You turned the map upside down.
No, this is the way it's supposed to look.
Ash, look, there's text at the top. You're reading it upside down. Misty grabs the map and flips it back. We're supposed to be going the other way.
We should sit down and eat something.
As our heroes sit down for a nice picnic lunch, they remember that they still should be traveling in a direction.
Well, what about just going the way we were going? It's going to be interesting.
Well, I guess we could just see what's in the town up ahead.
The other one's getting destroyed, so it's probably a good option.
We'll flash back to your call from Professor Oak when you guys were in a Pokemon Center. So, do 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 do. So as you get the phone call, you know, it goes ring, 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 telephone, telephone. And Professor Oak's face pops up on the screen. And Beck, I assume you are hitting on Joy.
Always.
And Misty, you're actually taking care of the Pokemon.
I mean, I'm the only one who does.
And Ash, you've left all of your Pokemon with Misty, who is taking care of them. And you're answering your call. So Professor Oak, who says... Ash, I'm sending you to Mulberry Town, where I want you to investigate some interesting species of Pokemon that live there. Mulberry Town is populated by people that exclusively use the Nido family. I have also heard that the town has a cache of moonstones that may be useful if you ever want to evolve any of your Pokemon or catch some Pokemon. And here he gives you a very unamused look.
Wait, is there a gym there? Because I gotta get another badge.
I think you should consider strongly catching more than two Pokemon before you get another pity badge.
Fine, I guess. I'll show them how to do it.
So your assignment is to get to Mulberry Town and bring back one of their special moonstones. You think you can handle that?
Oh, for sure.
Also in the background, you can hear that your mom is over at Professor Oak's house and she's calling and reminding you to change your underwear and all that sort of stuff.
Mom!
Which you haven't done.
Everyone can hear over this phone.
You haven't changed your underwear since we left?
Quiet, Misty. I've been getting badges.
Wait, how old are you? Am I the oldest one here?
Yeah, I think you're 12. The others are 10.
Brock is in Brock like 13.
Oh. Brock is like 30.
Brock is definitely an old dude.
I can't open my eyes anymore.
I don't think he's an old dude. It's not weird that he's not like a 28-year-old hanging out with like 10. okay, that aside, now we can flash back to what to the picnic lunch.
So, Mulberry Town.
They have mulberries the size of your head there.
I don't know why you'd go to Mulberry Town. It doesn't have any water Pokemon.
It has mulberries.
I don't like mulberries. I like ice cream.
It's got moonstones. We need a moonstone.
I don't need moonstones to evolve any of my Pokemon.
Well, that's kind of rude.
Well, Ash, maybe if you caught more Pokemon, you would get to decide where we go. But I mean, you know, you've only got the two.
I'm busy getting badges, and apparently they're like swimming in like Nido family Pokemon there, so I'll pick up at least four or six.
Ash, the only badges you got, people gave you because they felt sorry for you.
I just gave you mine to hold. It's not yours.
It is.
As our heroes bicker, they walk down the path towards Mulberry Town. There's, you know, that shot of them being, because every town has like the signpost where it's the name of the town. Right. And then this magnificent vista and this like sparkly sort of situation. So, what do you guys want to do?
I mean, I think we want to go to either the local, there's no gym, right?
No.
Okay, so I would think we would go to, like, the local Pokemon Center or find some sort of, you know, amusing mayor and figure out.
That sounds right. They'll probably be a mayor type.
Yeah. I'm picking mulberries on the way.
Okay.
And feeding them to your Pokemon?
Always.
That'd be cute.
I'm carrying Vulpix on my shoulder.
Mulberries.
Does Beck have any comments on the nutritional value of mulberries?
Mulberries are very good when you mix them with moonstones. Makes them go down easier.
Oh, God.
Is that how moonstones work?
This nutritionist is 15, by the way. 15.
Really?
Yes.
Cool.
I've been doing this for a third of my life.
Okay, so let me know what you guys want to do. What kind of skills?
All right, we have skills. I forgot.
Yeah, look
those.
At your sheet.
Oh. What?
Ash, Misty, and Brock, look at their character sheets.
So I would like to roll, or someone, I would like to roll attention to look around for whoever the mayor of the town is.
Cool.
What do we see? Like, what is there, like, a town square? Yeah. Are there people around?
Yeah, this is a town that is, So it's purple themed because that's how the way Pokemon towns work. They all have a particular color. This one is sort of teal blue and purple are the two colors that you see everywhere. Like most towns in Kanto, you see like mostly one-story buildings and houses and residential areas. There's a really nice fountain in the center, which has a statue of all of the Nido family Pokemon on it.
Oh, cute.
And at the very top of the fountain, there is a concrete Nido Queen and Nido King sort of holding hands, and the water sort of makes a little heart as it splashes up the top. There is, as you would expect, a Pokemon Center. This is Gen 1, but we're going to jump ahead to Gen 7 and say that the Pokemon Shop is inside the Pokemon Center because that just makes
it's
sense.
Just easier.
Because obviously.
And there's like a school and there is like a training gym where battles happen, but it's not like an accredited Pokemon League gym. You see townsfolk who are walking around doing their business and stuff like that. And
I want to roll poise to look good for the ladies.
Okay, you can do that.
It's very important.
Is that what poise is?
Sure. What did you get?
I rolled a 7.
You rolled a 7? Add your poise to that.
I rolled an 11.
Okay, you actually made it. So you look relatively relatively put together. You
My eyes are the right sort of closed.
Yes. Your
My
eyes are optimally
closed. My hair is the
closed.
Right sort of spiky. My backpack's on point.
Your backpack is on point. Okay, someone comes up to you to greet you in this new town. It is a lady.
Why, hello, handsome stranger.
Hey there.
Who might you be?
I'm Brock.
Really?
What is this person's name?
Oh,
what's the deal here, Franks?
Lady
Potato.
Potato.
Why, you recognize before you the beautiful and elegant Lady Potato.
And beautiful you are, as beautiful as any potato I've ever seen.
With that, Lady Potato recoils and pulls out her fan and starts laughing.
Oh, you.
Oh, me.
Why, you'd be charming enough to sweep me off my feet were I not engaged to the far lovelier and more handsome...
Sting.
Sting. Oh, yeah, that's right. Sting. Just Sting. The far lovelier and more handsome Sting.
Oh. Ash, someone wants to talk to you.
Hi. Do you know where I can get a moonstone?
A moonstone?
At least one.
Sure. I know exactly where you could get a moonstone.
Ha! Show Professor Oak. All right, where?
Why, 3 miles outside of town, there's a quarry where moonstones are mined, though some say it's dangerous.
Wow, that's so simple. Awesome. Thanks, Lady Potato.
It's not dangerous because he's with me, and I will keep us all safe. Tell your friends and your sisters.
Why do we always have to go places that are dangerous? Why can't we stay here? This place looks cute.
No, I'm sure you would have much more fun going to the dangerous moonstone quarry 3 miles outside of town for, I'd say, the next 48 hours.
I guess that makes sense, just to get Ash's stupid moonstone.
Stones, multiples.
This sounds incredibly suspicious and suspect.
Well,
and
it's been great meeting you. I'm sure you have a lot to do. And as this woman starts pushing you outside of town very forcibly, you bump into another NPC, I'm sure.
Yes. You bump into another NPC who, as soon as Lady Potato passes by, this other NPC leaps out.
Dressed in formal wear? Yeah. Purple and magenta formal wear and like a tux with a little bow tie. And like gets bumped out into the thoroughfare, and I don't know, what are your guys' pack situation? What do you have going on?
I mean, I think, like, Misty's got her normal bag with her various Pokeballs. She doesn't carry around much. Brock presumably has lots of food.
I have a big camping backpack that's, like, full of food and random tin cups kind of clanking off of it.
Ash has a standard 10-year-old's JanSport.
Cool.
With nothing of value in it.
Nothing whatsoever.
And what do you have going on, Misty?
I've got, like, my little shoulder bag, like, just like in the games, you know, like the little red shoulder bag. But it's not very big. It's very ladylike. It's
cool. Cute. Yeah. So Misty's bag falls, and he instantly grabs it off the ground and elegantly presents it back to her.
Gee, thanks, mister.
Oh, sorry, my lady. Please forgive me. Where were you all headed?
We were headed to the really dangerous cave 3 miles outside of town.
Oh.
We're getting some moonstones.
Are you new to town?
Yeah, we just got here.
Oh, allow me to show you the way.
Who are you?
I'm Sting.
My rival!
And who might you be?
I'm Brock. The love of your life's life. Congratulations on your engagement.
Oh, thank you. You're headed to get moonstones.
Well, I don't need a moonstone, but Ash does.
Totally. It's going to be so easy.
Yes, very easy.
Oh, my handsome Sting, always so cordial and polite to strangers.
Oh, the love of my life. Wonderful to see you here.
She looks at Sting and sparkles just appear in her eyes and around her face.
Flowers start popping up
right.
To rival it in
there's
the background.
There's the background.
Brock gets the like lines and then the blue coloring on his face. The wah wah.
I can't wait to unite with you in matrimonial bliss. When we will be gifted the 2 totem Pokemon of this town.
Wait, Pokemon how? How do we get gifted some Pokemon?
The camera pans to where the fountain is, and there's the 2 Nidoqueen and Nidoking with the giant heart thing. And then there's like a bunch of sparkles and the like heart music playing, basically.
Our 2 families, you see. They own this town.
I, Barbara Potato, represent the Potato family. The family dedicated exclusively to using Nidoqueen.
And I...
Sting Onion.
Sting... Why?
Why not?
We're running with the bit that James started, that's why.
And I, Sting Onion... Eldest son of the family that uses exclusively Nidokings.
For decades, our families had been in a heated rivalry until the barbs of war were warmed over with the sting of love.
And now, finally, our 2 families will unite, as we always were meant to.
And so will the pair of totem Pokemon of Mulberry Town.
Is there going to be a wedding? That sounds like a really great party.
A public wedding. To which you're all invited, of course.
Oh, that's awesome.
A public wedding with a full buffet.
In 3 days' time.
Oh, perfect.
Awesome. Our trip to the dangerous core
is going to take
3 days.
If that's convenient for the GM.
3 days' time sounds great.
How coincidental, that's the exact amount of time we need to go get moonstones from the very dangerous cave.
As wedding blossoms ring throughout the town, our heroes make their way in the direction of the dangerous quarry, where they are beset by a mysterious tiny figure jumping out from a bush.
Hey, watch where you're going, pal.
Oh no, it's Team Rocket.
What? No, I ain't from Team Rocket. I'm a different guy.
I'm convinced.
Oh, I've never met a different talking Pokemon.
I'm not a Pokemon. I'm just a tiny guy.
Oh, that what makes you sense.
As like? Our heroes.
He's wearing like a trench coat. He's wearing a trench coat.
Yes. It's a Ninja Turtle style disguise. Yeah,
exactly. That's so rude, Misty.
This is Meow.
Yes, this is definitely Meow.
Yeah, so, like, trench coat, Ninja
Fedora.
Disguise.
Fedora, yeah. And you even have the Ninja Turtles bandana.
Yeah. Yes.
Is there something that we're supposed to roll to figure out whether or not
nope,
we
you
any
can't,
idea?
You
guys
can't
never
out.
Know.
Yeah. No, it's
we
true.
Never
we
know.
Never know.
Impenetrable.
This you can roll, but the DC is, like, 18. And you roll 2d6, so good luck.
Can we help you?
No, I don't need any help. Can I help you? Get out of my way.
Sure.
Are you going to the wedding?
Yeah, are you?
No, we're going to the quarry, then the wedding.
Well, the wedding's in 3 days.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not going to the wedding now because that would be crazy.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, right.
So why are you in such a rush?
Why are you so questioning?
You started asking us questions first.
You bumped into me. What
no,
is this?
You jumped out of the bushes.
You, stop.
And then he jumps up and just scratches.
So Ash has got a bunch of like bloody three claw marks on him.
Jesus.
Wow. Oh. Yeah, that's what you get for bumping into me. Damn, a person.
That's such a weird thing for a person to do.
This is why we don't bother strangers.
We're sorry, Dan. We can move out of your way, I guess.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Misty at least walks over to the side. I don't know what Brock and Ash do.
There, also, you are clearly not in his way. He's, like, standing directly in front of you. You all sort of, like, navigate around, like, move really far out of his way and move towards the quarry. So this is a long 3-mile hike. You guys are going to need to make checks in order to find wild Pokemon, keep wild Pokemon off your trail, you know, basically climb streams. Basically, you know how annoying it is to be a Pokemon trainer, so you'll have to do all those things.
Deeply irritating.
So why don't you guys tell me how each of you are helping get where you're trying to go?
Can I send...
And keep in mind, for some reason, this 3-mile quarry will take 48 hours to get there and back, so there's that.
Yeah, how as young kids, how do we like survive in the wilderness so well?
Poorly.
You stumble from town to town, like, starving and beaten at the beginning of almost every
episode. Time you go show up in a town, you're, like, hungry and tired and filthy.
A hot mess. Ash is going to try to send Pidgeotto out to scout the way.
Okay, great. Why don't you make a physical training check?
So my physical training stat is 6.
Cool.
And I rolled a 6, so 12.
Okay. Pretty good. I'd set the difficulty at 11. So, you send Pidgeotto up ahead. He's like, Pidgeotto! And you send out your Pokeball. Pidgeotto is able to figure out that there's, a mountain that if you were to climb it, you could bypass a huge area of like muddy, slushy terrain that, Misty would hate. And also you would complain about. So
I think it's beautiful.
Yeah. Brock is all about that.
And so I'm not going to complain about the mountain.
Right. The rest of you guys?
Well, I think Misty has a Starmie that knows surf. So cool. Misty definitely, whenever there's like a little stream or like a river, is able to, well, she can hang on to Starmie and use it to get across. And then she sends Starmie back to like ferry everybody else across. I imagine that at least one of us falls into a river at some point. Holding on to Starmie.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, make a special training check.
Sure. So my special training is a 6. I rolled an 8, so that's a 14.
Perfect. Okay, so I was actually setting that at 13 because you're rolling all three of you.
Sure.
And yeah, you're able to basically cling to... So you're not able to avoid getting wet because Starmie is like not person-sized.
Yeah.
But you're able to like sort of hold on to the top horn of Starmie, and all three of you make it up this waterfall, basically.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, why don't we have you use waterfall? Because you know that as well.
Yeah, sure.
And you basically make it up the mountain faster because you're surfing up that.
Rack.
I want to let Onyx out because Onyx is super cool, but also I'm thinking if a path gets too rocky, Onyx can just go down the path and it will flatten or kind of clear.
Yeah, so you're basically drifting in the wake of Onyx.
Exactly.
Okay, make a physical training check.
16.
Well, yeah, really good. So you're basically able to create more handholds and, yeah, so you basically had Onyx... what's the term for this? It's not telekinesis. It's stonakinesis. Terrakinetic. Terrakinesis. She basically, Onyx moves great amounts of dirt and earth out of the way, making an easier path that even Ash finds it easy to climb. So you guys make it halfway to where the quarry is. I would like... Okay, so Brock has the highest attention. his eyes are
closed. Your eyes are closed.
Make an attention check.
13.
Okay. Brock, you notice that there is something in the bushes near you.
There's something in the bushes near us!
Brock, be quiet. You might scare it away.
Maybe it's a Pokemon.
Ash thinks it's a Pokemon. In this case, Ash is right. It is a Pokemon.
What Pokemon is it?
It is a... Ooh, roll a d6.
Did you get out the Pokedex? 2.
It's a Paris. This is the part where you guys all fight over who gets to actually battle it.
I mean, obviously. I want to battle it!
No,
that doesn't make sense.
No. It's a bug and poison type.
Never mind. Oh, I shouldn't battle it at all. All of my Pokemon are water type.
Don't worry, guys. I've got this.
Up. I guess so, Ash. Why don't you give it a try? See how that goes for you.
I'm just standing next to Onyx.
We'll loop this later. So yeah, there's... what appeared to be an incredibly massive, threatening, rustly, scary thing is just a tiny, cute little Paris that's like a weird crab with mushrooms on its back that'll eventually turn into a horrifying parasitic organism that takes over its brain. But for right now, it's just a little guy. And it's like...
Go, Pidgeotto. You won't fail this time.
Okay, you send out Pidgeotto.
Well, maybe. Remember I'm Oh,
that's right. Roll a die.
Roll a die.
Nope, Psyduck comes out
instead. Psyduck comes out instead.
Oh. Out comes Psyduck.
Psyduck.
I did not plan on that.
Psyduck, what are you doing?
What do you want to tell Psyduck to do? So now, guess what? You're battling now, Misty. Instead.
Oh, okay. Well, Psyduck, water gun.
Let's make a check to see if it does this.
All right, so I'm going to roll a water gun, which is a special attack. So I rolled a 8 plus 7 is 15.
Okay, that hits. The Paris is stunned and just... basically has a whole bunch of water shooting directly at it, and it shoots it against a tree, and the Paris' little eyes turn into, like, swirlies, and it's like...
But it only does one damage, because it's not super effective, right? Or it's not very effective, because it's water.
Oh, it's bug and grass. Yeah, so you're right. It only does one damage.
Look at me, knowing my types.
And that's the Pokemon way.
Oh, Psyduck, you actually did it right for once! And Misty ruffles the, like, three little hairs on top of Psyduck's head.
It cocks its head to one side and lolls its tongue a bit. Sigh. But now Paris gets to go. I, the GM, will roll this attack.
Oh.
Paris is going to use Stun Spore to try to stun Psyduck and get away. It hits. And I will spend a GM power.
Wait, how do you know it hits?
What?
How do you know it hits?
Because I rolled like a 15.
Well, but I mean, okay. I mean, mine would be a 14.
Oh, it's
not
okay.
That different.
I mean, I have Psyduck stats, so I know how much it hits. Okay. That's how I know it hits. So Psyduck is paralyzed. Let me see what the paralyzed condition does.
In game, like in the visual, I can tell you what it does. Psyduck was flapping its little stupid arms, and they get stuck out, and it goes "Die!" and like tips over and is sad.
Makes it sound like a porcelain statue, just like
yeah.
So paralysis. Before a paralyzed Pokemon takes an action, flip a coin. Does anyone have coins? We glue it to Johnny's forehand.
We pick three or evens odds.
That works. If tails, it takes no action on its turn instead and takes a -3 penalty to speed. So now Paris goes first.
Okay.
And we check whether or not Psyduck will do anything at all.
Okay.
You can also switch if you want and let a Ross.
I think that makes sense. Uh-oh, Psyduck! It looks like Psyduck's paralyzed! Ash, you better take it from here! And so I'll recall Psyduck as my action.
You've got this, Pidgeotto. This time you'll get it for sure.
So Pidgeotto switched out, and Paris still gets to go because you used a turn to switch. Right. Paris is going to use Sleep Spore, or Sleep Powder. Dang! Double crit.
Yeah.
Pidgeotto's asleep.
Oh.
And a sleep Pokemon does nothing during its turn. After each round where a frozen or asleep Pokemon does nothing, flip a coin. If heads, it loses the frozen asleep condition. So, Pidgeotto floats to the ground and is asleep now.
Oh, Pidgeotto. Constantly fail. Do anything.
Wow.
Pidgeotto's asleep. Round two.
Pidgeotto try to wake up?
Yeah.
All right. All right, Pidgeotto. You didn't hear that because you were asleep. I believe in you. Five.
I was doing evens wakes up, so sorry, buddy.
Does Ash just like poke it with a stick and it doesn't work?
Come on, Ash. You can do this.
So Paris is going to try to get away, and I'm going to have Paris take smart a... move. Let's see, what's the GM's physical training stat here? We never really talk about that.
I don't know.
Or you could throw a Pokeball.
I guess you are getting away.
Where's Pikachu?
Apparently Ash decided not to use Pikachu.
Cool.
Pikachu.
Well, I think the Paris has a chance to run now.
Right.
Yeah. All right, I'll do this, and if it gets above a 10, it'll run away on this 2d6. Uh-huh. Nope.
No.
It's sticking around.
All right, Pikachu.
It's not afraid of you.
All right, Pikachu. You can take care of this.
Pika!
You got to check whether it's Psyduck.
Check whether it's Psyduck again.
Or paralyzed.
Actually,
Psyduck.
This is the same battle. I'm not going to make you check for Psyduck.
Also, it wouldn't be in a Pokeball.
That's true.
Pikachu just
Pikachu's just chilling.
Pulls down a zipper and Psyduck.
That's awful. That's an awful idea.
I love it.
Oh, that's a great idea. Where is Pikachu?
Yeah, what's Pikachu been doing?
What? Oh.
Eating.
Oh, here?
Yeah.
Yeah, Pikachu has just been rolling his Pikachu eyes from Ash's shoulder as this whole escapade went on.
Pika-Pete!
So you send Pikachu out, and what do you do?
Pikachu is going to use Thunder Wave. That's a special, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So that is an 8 plus a 5. So 13.
Plus a 5. Okay. Yeah, Paris is now paralyzed. So you've got a bunch of paralyzed Pokemon on
ha! There. Serves you right, Paris.
Wow. So let's flip a coin and see whether or not Paris can act. It can. And Paris is going to use Leech Seed on you. Nope.
No, what does the failure look like then?
So basically it just spreads a whole bunch of spores everywhere. But Pikachu just jumps back onto your shoulder. So you're seated instead, which has no effect.
Ash is feeling itchy now.
Yeah.
Oh, gross.
So Paris wasted its turn.
So I guess Pikachu will use, what's his, he's got an electric move.
Thundershock or
Thunder
Thunderbolt.
Shock. Yeah. All right, Pikachu, you can do this. Another special.
Pikachu!
And that is a 9 plus 5, so 14.
Yep, Paris takes damage and it flips over on its back and it has the like X eyes basically.
Oh, no.
So now you have to try to catch it.
All right, here goes.
Make an technology check, aptitude check to throw it.
Okay, so my aptitude is 4.
Obviously.
And naturally, I roll a 5 on 2d6. So a 9.
Okay, let me see. So for those of you following along at home, when attempting to capture a Pokemon, you may throw a Pokeball at it. Divide the Pokemon base stat total by 10 and round up. Paris's base stat total is 285, so this would be, you'd have to roll a 3. Make an aptitude check and add the Pokeball's capture strength. The value of your check is higher than the Pokemon's base stat total. Divided by 10, the Pokemon is caught. So, you did it.
Woo!
You caught Paris. Doot, 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 doot.
Good job, Ash.
Now Paris. I've got 4 Pokemon.
You didn't check Dexter when you saw this new Pokemon because you're trash. But when you actually caught the Pokemon, your Dexter started vibrating like when you get a cell phone call. And it grew very, very hot. So you'll want to take it out of your pocket. Paris, the mushrooms on its back grow into a horrifying giant species.
Wow, that's gross and awesome.
So now you have Paris, although keep in mind that Pidgeotto is asleep. Mm-hmm. And Paris is
paralyzed and
KO'd and paralyzed. Pikachu's doing great.
What's
though.
Like our potion situation? Do we have anything?
I didn't make any, but I'll give you 2 potions and I'll give you
Brock can probably whip up some
food.
Yeah, she can do stuff.
Stuff like that. You get nothing.
Oh, Ash used his potion like 3 episodes ago trying to heal a Pokemon that was actually just sleeping. It was annoyed.
Yeah.
He just poured a bunch of sticky.
Do we have any paralyzed heals for poor Psyduck?
I'll let you make a.
We have
attention
months
check.
Of physical therapy.
I can make a soothing broth.
Oh yeah, let's definitely have Brock make Psyduck a soothing broth. Oh Psyduck, it looks like you need some TLC.
And you just pick it up, and it's like stiff.
Yeah, oh, no, it's so true.
Its tongue is lolling,
and its little stupid wings are out. Oh.
But it actually doesn't really look appreciably different from the way.
No,
it
it's still a Psyduck.
Sigh.
Okay.
I feel like in like an hour, they're gonna find out that it wasn't paralyzed at all.
Psyduck.
It's
just being Psyduck. So you had a wild Pokemon encounter, and now it'll take you another. What did we say? 24 hours to get to hike the mile and a half.
Can we also say that because of that leech seed, Ash just like has poison ivy now? Like
you are itching.
Like you're just itchy.
Oh, it got in my cat scratches. Wait, human scratches. That was
yeah, that was definitely a human.
Curse you, Dan.
Take this and rub it on your ashes. It's just a mulberry.
This is weird and sticky.
So now Ash has poison ivy in his cat scratches and also just has like purple juice all over his face. The rest of us look fine.
Yeah. Hashtag winning. What?
Get out.
So why don't we cut back to, while you guys are taking, and you camp for the night.
Sure.
Why don't you guys split up like...
It's really cute because Brock gets out Vulpix and it like lights a fire for us with its little breath. Super cute.
Yeah, talk about how your Pokemon are helping you set up camp and stuff like that, and then we'll cut back over to Mulberry Town.
And then Vulpix goes back in the ball, forgotten for another
It's so true.
No, I've decided this Vulpix lives on Brock's shoulder because otherwise Brock will forget that Vulpix exists.
It's not a rock type Pokemon.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we pitch a tent. Like, we make a little, like, my water Pokemon, you know, do a little, they make us water, and it's all nice and pretty. Definitely Starmie at some point. Like,
would you guys actually drink water that came out of a Starmie's horn? Because I would not.
No. I mean, that's a good question, but no. I think we definitely do. whether we should is a different question.
I feel like that's diseased.
How many tents does this group have? Like, how do they sleep?
Three.
Brock sleeps under the stars.
Oh, for sure. But Misty and Ash don't share a tent?
No.
Are we sure?
His eyes were frostbitten shut. That's why.
That's why they never open.
I don't know. I kind of think Misty and Ash share a tent.
Oh, yeah? Well, we might as well get this Pokeshipping going.
I mean, this is fanfic.
Yeah. All right. Talk to me about this disgusting 10-year-old love story.
Well, no. It's because Ash didn't pack a tent. Like, we know from the first episode that Ash brought literally nothing on his journey. Misty, on the other hand, seems relatively well prepared despite like haphazardly walking in there. So
I think Misty's like, buy a tent, Ash. And he's like, why? We just use yours.
Right. And so it's definitely like a one person tent, and it's blue with like purple flowers on it. And it's when they sleep in it, like Misty just curls up in the corner because Ash is definitely like a sprawler sleeper.
Oh, for sure.
Who takes up, he's basically like man spreading in the tent all the time.
Terrible.
And Misty just like goes in the corner and
has
his
snot bubble on his nose.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he snores.
And he's like profoundly bad at setting it up. But he's very willing to give advice as to how to set it up.
Oh my god, yeah. No, it's so Misty sets it up every time. Pikachu actually helps all the time. Like Pikachu is very helpful, but not Ash.
While all that's happening, Brock's in his
Pikachu likes Misty a lot.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Brock's in his sleeping bag, surrounded idyllically by all the Pokemon that I've just fed. And he's just like
wild Pokemon?
Some wild
that no one bothers to throw Pokemon.
No, of course not.
Some just like our random all my Pokemon are out, Onyx and Geodude and Vulpix.
Just Disney princessing
just
it.
Chilling.
Yeah. Disney princessing it.
Yeah, he's sleeping
on rocks. A Pidgey comes from nowhere
so great.
And like brings me a flower.
I think in the middle of the night, Ash like awkwardly reaches out and like grabs the blanket Misty is sleeping with and it's in his sleep and like pulls it over and Misty's just like, and like is still there shivering and Ash has like four blankets. Ash is the worst.
You're trash.
I feel bad.
Trash Ketchum.
I definitely am the first one that wakes up and I'm like fully rested and I've made a full breakfast by the time everyone else wakes up.
Because you're team dad.
I'm team dad. Yeah. I'm 15. It's about time I settle down.
Yeah.
You spent so much time raising your 400 brothers and sisters.
That's true.
Ash, you stole my blanket again. Now you owe me for my blanket and my bike.
I'm working on it. And I was cold.
How are you working on it?
We're getting moonstones.
You don't even have any Pokemon that evolve with moonstones.
Wait, what do they do?
Moonstones are evolutionary stones, Ash. They help Pokemon evolve. Nidorino and Nidorina, they evolve with moonstones. But Pikachu uses a thunderstone, and Pidgeotto doesn't use a stone, and Butterfree's all the way evolved, so I really don't know why you need moonstones.
I just do what Professor Oak tells me, okay?
Okay. Still, you owe me for the blanket and the bike.
You've ruined the blanket somehow. It's like
oh, absolutely. I think Pikachu. I think Pikachu like scorched it or something. Yeah.
Gary Oak drives by in a convertible, and he's like, "Hey, Ash, I got 400 moonstones. I'm gonna evolve every Pokemon." And then he just like speeds off.
Gary, ooh, hey, Gary. With his girls running after him.
Yeah, I mean, packed. Convertible.
He's like, hey, Ashy boy, still sleeping in a one-person tent? And then he just, like, tosses, like, a giant Cadillac cabin-style tent.
Don't do that. It's too beautiful.
Gary's the best.
With co-eds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, he's a dude.
Absolutely.
He's, like, a 10-year-old driving around in a Ferrari. No, being driven in a Ferrari by a cadre of co-eds who are like all dressed as cheerleaders.
No, he caught a Hitmonlee or a Hitmonchan who is his driver. Like, it drives the car.
Oh my god, he's the best.
I like the Hitmonlee because it definitely drives with its like hands feet folded behind it.
Yeah. Completely.
He has some new terrible fashion happening.
Oh yeah.
Every
oh, yeah
time.
I love him so much.
Remember when he was dressed as Indiana Jones in the prehistoric Pokemon episode? Yes. Oh, he's the best. Yeah, of course you do. Of course you remember when he was dressed as Indiana Jones.
Of course
Jones
I do, yes. You didn't need to ask.
But yeah, why don't we cut back to Mulberry Town now that we know what you three are up to? Unless you guys have something to add about the way the morning went.
No, I don't think so.
Misty is incredibly poorly rested. Ash is never fully rested. Like, he's never been fully rested in his life. And
he's just gotta get going.
And he definitely still itches and is still covered in purple juice.
Oh, yes. Oh, and that's why the blanket's ruined. Because
yes, no, yeah, that is definitely why the blanket is ruined.
Because
yeah,
it's a biohazard now.
So I think we can cut back to a nondescript warehouse on the edge of town where there is a shadowy, mysterious figure petting a Pokemon. And we pan down and we see three familiar silhouettes. And they are standing in front of the giant view screen, which has this shadowy figure.
Well, you dummies, have you reported in yet?
That's what we're doing right now.
And I don't think that criticism is quite fair, because we're right in front
don't
of you.
Don't speak out to the boss like that.
Persian.
Be quiet. Look, I got the two Pokeballs. One has Nidorino. Look, I got two Pokemon. And I got lots of Moonstones, all right?
The plan's unfolding just as you ordered.
Hmm, excellent. Maybe it wasn't such a bad idea to give you those rental Pokemon after all.
And the camera pans down, and instead of just your normal Ekans and Pokemon, you've got the Nidoking and Nidoqueen balls, but you've also got another special Pokeball with the Team Rocket R on it. And then the camera zooms in further, and yours is a Golbat, and yours is a Muk.
That's right, boss. With these secret weapons in our pocket, no one can stop us, not even those Poketwerps.
That's right. We've sent those Poképests up to...
up to very dangerous quarry.
We'll call it Ralph McQuarrie.
To Ralph McQuarrie.
We shouldn't see them until...
until it's too late to stop our evil plan.
We're great at dialogue.
This show is known for its dialogue.
Giovanni makes an irritated noise in the back of his throat and says,
and what about the wedding? Has that been called off yet?
Oh no, boss. The wedding's going down. But instead of a bride and groom, they'll find myself.
And me.
And I'm the priest!
Yes, we got rid of the priest as well.
Oh my god. Okay, I think we need to end this particular episode on that note, because... why don't we end with a Team Rocket laughing maniacally as the credits slip?
Heroes, thanks for joining us on this adventure. We'll be back in 2 weeks to see what those Kanto kids are up to. Send comments to @AdventureOSN on Twitter. Don't forget to give us an iTunes review so we can level even faster. Adventure is a one-shot podcast production. Please be sure to check out Tales from Thedas, Neoscum, System Mastery, and Warda, our new one-shot siblings. See you next time.